Navigating the vast world of spirituality can be overwhelming, especially if, like me, you grew up being told there was only one God, one way to worship, and anything outside of that was just plain evil. Yeah, I didn't believe any of that. Welcome to Magic from the Root, a podcast for those of us who have chosen to follow a less conventional path. Join us as we talk about everything from herbs and alchemy to rituals, tarot, astrology, spirit guides, and all the other exciting things that they don't teach in Sunday school. It doesn't matter if you're a dabbler, a seasoned witch, or just trying to figure out where you fit into this big, beautiful universe, everyone is welcome here. Now grab some tea, center yourself, open your mind, and settle in for some good, old-fashioned magic talk. Hi, friends. I feel like I haven't said hi to everyone in forever. It's been so long since we've recorded. This is Odell, and you're listening to Magic from the Root, in case it wasn't obvious by, you know, the podcast that you just clicked on to listen to.
In case you don't know what the hell you're doing right now.
Right. So yeah, I'm Odell, and in case you were wondering, who was that lady?
I'm Andrea.
The same one who's been on every other episode.
That's right.
Yeah, we are still in, obviously, and just for the sake of listeners who come back after all the craziness of COVID, at this recording, we are still in
COVID. Motherfucking COVID land!
Right. Which, you know, going back, I remember when we were, recording back in April, and we're like, yeah, hopefully by, the end of May, sure, we'll be fine. We'll be totally fine. Everything's gonna be good. Here we are. And we also thank those of you who have been hanging on to our little show that could. We realize that there are so many crazy fucking things going on in the world right now, with especially here in the United States, with COVID. You know, we are number one. We're winning in the amount of COVID cases in the world. Amazing that we are. Not listening to science. We're denying it. We've got an election coming up, and just there's all sorts of fuckery going on right now.
Oh, don't get me started on all of the nonsense and all. Yes, yeah.
That we're all feeling.
Yeah. And I gotta say, it's aside from the COVID, clearly, and just the nonsense that is the election, thank you to all the people who have been out on the streets protesting.
Yes.
And really fighting so hard for Black Lives Matter and for really ending the kind of crazy capitalist patriarchal system that has been running the country for so many centuries.
Yeah, forever.
And that you guys are sticking with it, which is really beautiful and really inspiring. And for those of you who aren't capable of being out in the streets, thank you for the work that you're doing at home, for all of the spell casting, for all of the petitions, for all of the letters and the emails and all the things. Keep it up.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it seems a little hopeless right now with this fucking administration that we've got, but I know that hopefully, I'm positive, I'm confident that come November, we will see a changing of the guard, and this work that's being done right now will begin, you know, we'll see the effects of that once we get the bullshit.
We are in the midst of watching the tower crumble, and it's,
yes,
it's not pretty, no, but it's necessary.
It is, and we'll all be a part of the cleanup. But that said, so Andre and I had a discussion beforehand about, you know, what are we doing with the show? We realize that there's just so much going on in the world. You know, we've kind of dedicated this first season of the show to making sure that we're kind of propping up, especially the newbies who are just coming into their own witchy selves, giving you the foundation and helping you, you know, build your own little practice. So we want to commit to closing out this season, you know, with at least finishing out with the holidays. We feel like we've given you quite a good foundation on the rest of the basics of your practice. And so rather than doing two shows a month going forward, just with everything that's going on and just trying to keep ourselves sane, we're going to go to doing just one show per month, We're committed. We've got two more non-holiday shows for you. We're going to do a candle magic show, and we're also going to do a talking to the dead, communing with the ancestors show in November.
Hey.
And then the rest of the shows will be based on, so today we're talking about Lunasa, and then we'll do a Mabon, a Samhain, and a Yule show as well, just to kind of round out all of our holidays. And then we're really going to reconvene and really think about what we're going to bring to you in our next season and how that's going to be structured. And we will keep you informed on our website and on Instagram, but we are committed to at least bringing you one show per month for the rest of this calendar year of 2020. And then hopefully be back with a vengeance once we got all this bullshit out of the way and taken care of. And we can be back in the same room. I was just telling Andrea, you can tell that, the energy is just not with our episodes right now, because we're not,
we're not in the same room anymore.
We're not crackling and sparkly. And
it makes me so sad.
We don't have like the endless laugh attacks where we can't breathe. UPS people knock on my door while I'm telling a story and scare the fuck out of me. But thank you for those of us, thank you for those of us who are still.
Thank you, Odell. Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you, thank us. Thank you. Thank you to those of you who are sticking with us. And, thank you for like Andrea said, all that you're doing to fight and to stand together. And, we got to stay strong. We'll get through this.
We got this. And if you have not registered to vote, get your ass out there and register to vote.
Thank you. Yes, please. Please. And normally I would say, I don't care who you vote for, so long as you vote. That's a bunch of fucking shit.
Not
if you
this
vote
time.
For Trump, I wish you a lifetime of diarrhea. Yay me. So with that said.
Oh, I love you. I miss beautiful. You, friend.
I miss you too.
I miss you.
So I've got to say, though, really quick, because I know we were talking about this way back in episode 4 about, seed to root to bloom and growing things. And I was starting, y'all, my garden and my flowers are so amazingly beautiful.
Mm.
And they just like, I can't even tell you, because we had a late winter, a very late winter. We literally got snow 3 days before spring. The first day of spring this year.
So wild.
So I was afraid, I didn't get things planted in the ground. I was afraid things weren't going to take. And then, my garden has really been my sanctuary through all of this, because every day I go out and I sit with my flowers and with my vegetables and I talk to them, and I've been really nurturing them, and they are so huge. My dahlias, oh my God, y'all, I've got so many dahlias right now. It's just, and the calendula and my tomatoes, by the way, Andrea, I hope you need tomatoes, cucumbers, zucchini, because the fucking, it's ridiculous. I probably have more tomatoes this year out of 2 plants than I had last year with 8 plants. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So something good has come of this.
It's so funny because you very intentionally planted less this year because you went so crazy last year. So I think it's hilarious that you're still having more right. output.
Well, and it just goes to show, you give your plant babies more love and more attention, they definitely respond. And I also, I changed my blessing that I put upon them this year before I planted them. I took a little bit of a different approach, and based on something you had said during our Seed to Root to Bloom episode, and I blessed my Ostara eggs and I buried them with all of my plants, and they are just out of control. So
yeah, I love that. You think maybe I actually know a thing or two?
Well, you would think between the two of us, look at the magic that we make. It's amazing.
Oh man, we are so ridiculous.
We are. So what are you drinking today?
Today, because it's hot as fuck.
It is.
I am drinking some homemade kombucha. I made some kombucha, for those of you who don't know what kombucha is, what world do you live in now?
Right.
Kombucha is a fermented bacteria and yeast product that I was like, I don't know what I want to say right there. It sounds disgusting. But it's an organism. It's a bacteria and yeast organism that you brew with tea, and it basically kind of ferments the sugar in the tea and turns into this like lovely probiotic fizzy drink. And I then turn this one into a blueberry mint version. So I'm drinking some kombucha and some fizzy water and trying to stay chill.
My kombucha making baby died.
Oh, I'll bring you another one next time I see you, which would be sometime this year, hopefully.
Well, I'm going to have to at least drive by and bring you some flowers and some vegetables. And I also have some tea for you that I ordered a long time ago that I need to drop off. So, yes.
I will not say no.
I am drinking this. I know every time that we record, I say, this is my favorite tea ever. This one...
really your favorite tea, Emma.
It really is. They just keep getting better and better. This one's called Dark Iris, and it's an oolong, and it has peach, lime, and pistachio, which sounds like a really weird combination. It is so damn tasty, and I've mixed it with some fizzy water.
I'm intrigued by the pistachio in there. Like, peach and lime makes a lot of sense to me, and the pistachio, I'm trying to... wrap my brain around that in a tea.
Right. Yeah, so it is. It's so good. And I ordered a big ass thing of this. I also ordered a couple little samplers. And so when that comes, I have that for you as well. So
sweet.
Yeah. So there's where we are. That's the state of the world. And today we are going to talk about Lunasa or Lose Day, also known as Lammas. And I'm feeling very called right now. Wow, when I said that. So I've been doing a lot of work with Lu, and Lu is a Celtic god, and this is his day, basically. And he just kind of hit me in the head and be like, make sure that you let people know that just because Lammas and Lunasa happen around August 1st, they are not one and the same, meaning he is not Lammas.
No.
So, I just felt this very strong, like, you have to say that. But this year... Lunasa takes place on August 1st, which will be a day after this episode airs. So this holiday marks the point in time where we're halfway through summer, which just seems so crazy to me because it feels like we just recorded and aired our summer solstice episode and we're already almost to fall.
I know, it's so weird.
While it does seem like it's really, really, really super soon, it also makes me really happy because fall is really my favorite time of the year when the leaves are changing and the cooler weather setting in. And I know it's almost Halloween time, but at the same point in time, since I've been stuck at home for so damn long, it feels like it's still spring really. Like we haven't really had those change of seasons because I'm not out and about as much as I would like to be.
Well, and we had a, you know, a fairly long spring. Mm-hmm. And our summer weather has just kicked into gear for us. And so it does seem like it's too soon to be thinking about fall.
Right. But then it felt like it was too soon to be thinking about summer when we were like when the solstice happened, we're like, wait, it's already solstice. It's just this whole 2020 is just fuck you, 2020.
Oh, man. That's real.
So Lunasa is typically the time when the garden is just full of all sorts of veggies and the fruits of your labor are definitely showing. We're moving into a time of harvest, and as I just mentioned, the fruits of my labor are already showing. I can only imagine what's going to happen at that time of the year. So this is the first day of Celtic autumn, and this is also the last of the four great fire festivals in the Celtic year, and the first of three harvest festivals, which are followed by Mabon and then Samhain. As I mentioned before, this is a good time to worship the god Lu, who, as I mentioned, has recently become really prominent for me. I've really connected with him and Dagda, which I know that our spirit guide episodes just aired, even though that we had recorded them a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I was having that whole thing with like the Morrigan and found out that really she was only here just to smack me up alongside the head and be like, look, fucker. Your Celtic ancestors need you and the Celtic deities need you. Pay attention. She wasn't really here to stick around. She was just here to kick my ass into gear. But since then, I've connected very deeply with some Celtic deities. Been taking a Celtic history class online.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I've been learning how to say some Celtic words now, which I'm
nice.
I can say like three things. But yeah, this is a good time to for feasts tend to focus a lot on bread and corn. And I'm 100% down with that because I love me some bread. I love me some corn. I love me some cornbread. It's like, I am a corn-fed, fat old country boy, and those things appeal to me to no end.
It's also, in regards to that, this is typically you don't ever want to harvest your corn or your potatoes before this day. It's right. Almost like considered sacrilege.
Right. So this time was also characterized by the trading and or the selling of livestock and county fairs, which also kind of speaks to me and why I love this time of year so much, because as I mentioned, I grew up in Idaho in the country, very rural, and I did, like, we raised livestock and they would take them and show them at the county fair. And there was so much, like, the fair was the highlight of the year, because really it was the end of summer. It happened a couple of weeks before we went back to school, but that was like a really happy time in my life, which is means that Lou has probably been with me for my entire life. And he was really excited because that was his time. So yeah, anyway, story for another time. So anyway, do you have anything more to say about that before? I kind of want to give a little background. I feel like I need to pay tribute to Lou since I've been working with him a lot. But before we get into that, do you have anything else to add there?
Yeah, there's a couple other names that you may find associated with this holiday. Lofmas is one of them. Lunastal is another one. It's also known as the Corn Festival. One of the ones that I actually really like the most, even though I'm totally going to slaughter the pronunciation, is Brontrogan or Brontrogain, which is Gaelic, of course, so I'm saying it totally wrong. But what it means is the earth's sorrowing in autumn. And what that is a reference to is how the fields, the vines, the corn stalks, the tree limbs are so heavy with fruit and corn and all of the offerings of the harvest that they look like they're sad because they're sagging so much because they're so heavy. So it's the earth sorrowing in autumn. And I just love that name. It's just so, it's such a beautiful visual.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to chat a little bit about who Lu is, or Lunasa. So Lu is a Celtic god, and he is known also as Lu of the Many Skills. So Lu's story is that his mother had been locked up by her father, Balor. Now, Balor was a deadly Fomorian war chief. He had a powerful eye that was said to be able to kill anyone that he laid his eye on. And if you read more about Balor, if you see pictures of him, he looks very similar to the Cyclops. So Balor's daughter, Aline, was locked in a tower because of a prophecy that he had that stated he would be killed by his grandson. So what do? When we don't want our grandson to kill us, we lock up our daughter so she can't have any kids. Makes sense,
stellar,
right?
Dad skills there.
So Balor had stolen a cow from a man named Cian, who was a member of the Tuatha De Danann. And when Cian came looking for the cow, he saw Aline and he fell immediately in love. So one night, Cian dressed up as a woman and snuck into the tower to be with Aline, and she got pregnant. So Aline gave birth to triplets, but only one of them, Lu, survived. Now, immediately upon his birth, Balor ordered him killed because, you know, prophecy and stuff. But Lu was no ordinary child, and he survived and grew up to be a very fierce warrior for the Tuatha De Danann. But before he reached the status of fierce warrior, Lu approached the High Kings and offered his services to the Tuatha De Danann. And they told him, you know, that they really didn't know that they could use him because every skill that he offered up to them, they already had someone who could fill that position. But then Lu pointed out that he was a single man, a single person with many skills, which gave him the name Lu of the Many Skills. So the Tuatha De Danann were like, that sounds pretty awesome. Like, you can do carpentry and weaponry. You have a gift for music. You have a gift for magic. And you have a vast knowledge of history. So, you know, they agreed he was a rare breed. And boom, you're hired. They welcomed him in and gave him the title of a word that I'm not even going to attempt, which basically translates to the one of many skills, as I mentioned
all
before.
All of the skills.
So now, eventually, Lu became the one who led the Tua Dedannan to victory over the Fomorians. It was said that no enemy could escape his long arms on the battlefield, and I think that was another name they gave him, Lu with the long arms or something like that. But they just said that was because anyone who got close to him or within reach of him, he could basically take them out. No one could get away from him. He eventually fulfilled the prophecy by killing Balor on the battlefield by driving his evil eye through the back of his head. Take that, Grampy. So Lu is often compared to Mercury, as you know, who is a Roman god. He's considered a guardian of promises and the keeper of oaths, which is conveyed in this day, which is often associated with the idea of the year and a day commitment ceremony between lovers. Before I get into that, do you have anything to add about Lu or anything you want to say about that?
Yeah, so Lu is a Celtic sun god, and which is part of why this is also considered a fire festival, and that there's a lot of associations with celebrating the sun for you know, the ripening of the fields and the golden color aspects that are associated with this holiday of like gold and bright yellow and anything that is kind of sun-esque. And there's actually what happened after Lu killed his grandfather was that there was another person who was who had been captured. There's another battle of a person who had been captured named Brace. And when Lu asked what he would want to be freed, Brace was like, "I'll give you all the milk you can handle and all the food that you can handle." And he was like, "Actually, what I'd really like is for you to teach me when to plow, when to sow, and when to reap the fields." And because of that, that is how he was able to make the livelihood of the Tua Dedannan sustainable. And it's his foster mother, whose name I will now slaughter, which is Tailtu, I don't know, it's T-A-I-L-T-I-U. She is really strongly associated in particular with this holiday because she basically gave her life to clear the fields. So we associate the harvest with her being kind of an earth goddess and a harvest goddess who worked so hard to clear the fields that she died of exhaustion. And so that's a part of why this holiday is about harvest and also about honoring the dead, in particular dead mother figures. Yeah, I think that's all I have to say in regards to Lu.
Okay, awesome. So I'd mentioned earlier the idea of the temporary marriage for a year and a day, which I got to say, I kind of love this idea. So we'd mentioned, you know, that especially during the summer solstice, that's a big time for hand fastings. And this was also another time when that kind of came into play because, you know, as men were starting to think, okay, well, women were going to be, you know, we're reaping our benefits. We're going to put in a lot of time on the fields and get our harvest for the winter, but then we need to settle down for the winter and we need someone to keep us warm. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that they would agree into a temporary marriage, which was done at this time of year.
Yeah, it was always done for a year and a day. So you would basically agree to be in this partnership to see if it was worthwhile. And then at the end of a year and a day, if you decided to split ways, there was no issue with that. There was no judgment around that. And if there was no children that were born from that marriage, then the woman was properly compensated.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and then like Andrea said, at that point in time, you could determine, okay, well, was this a benefit? Like, are we in love? Do we want to keep this going? And then you could basically renew your vows into a more permanent union. Mm-hmm. Or you could, again, just part ways and find somebody else.
And this also happened at this time because this traditionally in Ireland and Scotland and in Gaelic communities was when whoever was kind of lord of the land would do a lot of the kind of housekeeping for the whole community, right? So doing a lot of matchmaking, doing a lot of like land swaps and food dynamics to make sure that the community was all settled. So it made sense at this time, just like Odell was saying, because you're about to go into winter and people are going to be less active outdoors, and you want, you know, someone to be able to snuggle up with and stay warm and survive the winter with. A lot of times the kind of powers that be, the lords of the land, would be making a lot of big decisions about the communities. And so matchmaking and the hand fastings were very common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can also do your own type of hand fasting ceremony, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a commitment to another person. So when I started my practice a few years ago, I did a year and a day commitment to my spiritual practice, which started with me writing down, you know, what I planned, what I wanted to do over the course of the next year and a day to strengthen my practice, to strengthen my, you know, my faith, to connect deeper with my spirit guides. So I wrote all that down of what I wanted to commit to. And then I committed to doing those things over the next year and a day. And I think a lot of Wiccan practices also kind of subscribe to that whole concept of committing to your practice, and kind of you're kind of initiated then after your year and a day commitment if you want to commit to this type of practice.
Mm-hmm. I think that's common in a lot of spiritual practices. Yeah.
Anything else you have to say on any of those things?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, as just like Odell was saying, and how it's such a sweet memory for him, the times of the fair. This was very much because it was a time of like matchmaking, and it was a big feast, right? You'd have this really large feast because it's the first feast of the harvest. And so to kind of bless that feast and to bless the abundance of the community, everyone was fed in a symbolic way to show like, oh, there's so much abundance that it's going to last us through the year. So kind of no one went without on that day. So it goes very much hand in hand with what we think of the fair now, right? Where we're eating this abundance of like random food and seeing all the animals, and like animals would be traded, and there's a lot of contests that were done that would be about, you know, how strong people were and whether they could prove themselves basically to be hand fasted. Mm-hmm. And all of these like really fun kind of game, athletic games and contests. And it was also when there'd be the visits to the wells to bless the wells. And also, you know, there's a tradition of sacrificing a bull on this day. And all of this was typically done, as is always the case, on the hills or the mountaintops. Mm-hmm. So you'd kind of go to the hills and the mountaintops, you'd light these big fires so that the gods could see how thankful you were for the sun, Lu in particular, and then have this beautiful feast and all of this like merriment to kind of show the abundance of the year and really hope that the harvest will sustain you through the winter. Mm-hmm. One of the other things that was really common at this time, besides going to the holy wells to kind of bless yourself and ask for, you know, healing and protection, this was a time similar, you know, we're always like trying to take care of the animals, take care of the future harvest. So this was a time when you would make little adornments of special herbs and ribbons and things and adorn the animals as a sign of protection, or you would tar their ears, or you'd take them into water to give them essentially a spiritual bath. So you'd take the horses and the cows and all the other animals to a lake and take them into the water to bathe them in a spiritual way. Is also a time when they a lot of times would traditionally throw butter into a lake, which seems kind of wacky. But again, it was to kind of bless the offerings of the cow, and in a symbolic way to essentially ask that like the butter and the dairy and all of the things that the animals are producing for you will be abundant and fertile and keep you throughout the winter. It seems like a very strange one, but, you know, humans do some crazy shit.
Totally.
The other thing is, it was a really common time to go and, pick fruits and bilberries in that part of the world, but any fruits, and make flower wreaths, A lot of times flower wreaths were left at this time for loved ones who had passed on, or you'd bury flowers as a symbol that summer is over. You know, all the beautiful flowers that grow at summertime, this was when you would bury them, and it was like you're saying goodbye to summer. And this is definitely a time to honor the corn, right? So this is it's known as a corn festival. And so if you were baking bread, or if you were making any offerings, the bread would usually be done in a braid type formation to kind of represent the kernels of the corn. And this was a time when corn dolls were and still are made traditionally. So you'll take the husks from the corn and turn it into a doll. And it was a way to basically invite and kind of trick the spirit of corn to stay within the community and within the home. So you'd make a little corn doll. Wow, I can't talk anymore. You'd make a little corn doll and put it in your house or keep it near your field. And that would, you know, represent luck and prosperity. And again, the fertility of the fields and trying to keep the spirit of the corn very close. It was also, you know, a time where kind of later in history, because the whole community would go out and harvest the field, all the farmers would go out and harvest the field. This was also a time when after the harvest, the poor people in the community were allowed to go and glean the field, which basically means going and picking up all of the scraps, anything that's left over, the random little bits. That's where we get the word gleaning from. And so they would go and glean the fields after harvest was done so that they could bake their own breads and have food at a time when everyone should have abundance. And so that's a little bit of why this holiday many times is associated with social justice and ways in which we should kind of help and support the poor in our community. So it's a really good time to do work around that. And I would love to talk about John Barleycorn, since we're talking about corn.
Let's do it.
So there's a story about John Barleycorn, and he basically is the green man. And if you'll remember back at Beltane, we talked about how the god and the goddess were doing a little fornication. And so at this time, John Barleycorn, he's now gone from being the green man into this old, bent over, dark figure who's now kind of, instead of being green, he's very golden and sun-kissed, right? And at Lammas, he then offers himself to the community to feed the community. So he's offering himself as a sacrifice to the community at this time. There's also a story of, instead of being John Barleycorn, that it's the goddess who offers herself. And she does this by taking a scythe and cutting a part of her earthly body as a sacrifice to offer again to the community so that they may be nourished and may survive throughout the year. So again, it's a time of having a lot of gratitude and giving thanks for how bountiful the earth is and the offerings that it has, and then kind of spreading the wealth with that, but really, really honoring how fertile and amazing that it is, and remembering that no one should go hungry, and that it does take sacrifice. It does take things dying away and being cut from the vine to be able to serve and feed us all. One of the only other things that I want to touch on before we go into some of the astrological pieces is there's a cool thing. I read this in this book that I cannot think of the name of at the moment. But I guess this was also a time of poppy weddings. So, and it's still something that is practiced in Europe today. So when the corn is growing and the corn is high, many times that's also when poppy flowers are blooming. And so if you get married at this time, and, you know, this was traditionally the last Sunday of July, but now it's usually right around August 1st. Mm-hmm. If you get married around this time, then you have a poppy wedding. And poppies basically represent the blood of the corn. And so the bride, anyone who's a harvest bride, wears red instead of white. Nice. To represent the poppies, or wears poppies. And then in her bouquet would carry a bouquet that's made of corn. So there'd be like a sheath of corn and a headdress that is woven from the husks of corn, so that you're interweaving the poppies and the corn into that harvest wedding, which I think is really cool. And I think it'd be really beautiful to see one that's done really traditionally.
Right.
I think it's pretty amazing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, the only other thing I have is just to mention that during this time of year, we also get the Perseid meteor showers, which typically start around mid-July and they peak in mid-August. And you'll probably get the best show around the 20th to the 24th of August. And I actually, at the time of recording this, we've started to see a few. I saw some the other night.
Oh, nice.
Astrologically, this is the season of Leo, which lasts from July 23rd until August 22nd. And I love my Leos as friends, but my God, I've tried dating a couple and we just do not mix. My little wandering Pisces mind and Leo, like the two guys that I've dated who are Leos were both, it's all about me all the time. And they talked about themselves all the time. And I was always left feeling like, well, what about me? So anyway, but my Leo friends,
you know what, totally love them. I think that it's so funny because I have to agree. And I think it must be like water signs and fire signs have a hard time being compatible.
I think
because
so.
I'm the same way. Most of the time I'm like, Leo, come on now. Right. Don't make me call you out.
Exactly. Because every time I hear Leo, I come back to Madonna, who is a Leo, and just looking at how she needs a spotlight on her all the fucking time. which is what both of the guys that I dated were exactly like that. And I'm just kind of like, can we just stop talking about you for a minute? But so again,
we
my
love
Leo,
you. We do love you, Leos. We just can't date you.
As Miss Renee said, it takes all kind to make a world. And we couldn't do it without you. We just can't, we can't be involved with you. Though the sex is pretty good. But yeah, so Leo season, which, you know, I guess maybe that's why Lou is the only Leo that I need in my life.
That's hilarious. I love it.
So yeah, do you have anything else? Because that is all I have in my notes.
So if you're going to do some celebratory things at this time, again, this is a really nice time to bake bannocks, which were also known as lunastain cake for this particular holiday. And again, that's like an oat type cake. So you could definitely bake bread, anything that's a grain, you know, any of the first harvested grains of the season, bake with those or do something with corn. Again, try to make a corn doll. Some of the symbolic things that represent this time are the scythe, the sickle, grapevines, corn dolls, dried grains, late summer fruits. So if you're going to do an altar, those all might be really nice things to put on the altar. Again, the colors would be bright yellow and gold, anything that represents the sun, kind of harvest, the beginnings of harvest colors. And this is, you know, like I said, a really sweet time to give thanks and gratitude for how abundant the earth is and how much she offers to us to keep us alive and functioning. And so it's really important to do some gratitude around that. Also a really nice time to reflect on our actions and our deeds, our experiences, our gains and our losses, because this is a time where we're honoring some of the death in life in regards to like Lou's foster mother. And also the harvest, so the abundance. So it's your gains and your losses all at the same time. So reflect on that. It's a really beautiful time to do some fertility magic that's for yourself, because, you know, the land is so fertile at this time and offering up so much. If you are going to leave food offerings from anything that you harvest, make sure to leave some out for the fae. In particular, if you can do it on a hilltop, that would be lovely. But anywhere where you feel like the fae would be able to have a portion of those offerings, they would greatly appreciate that. And then also, this is a really good time to do some cutting and clearing work, because if you think about when you harvest wheat, you're cutting it from the chaff, right? And so you're cutting what's only needed and getting rid of the rest. Same with corn. You're not taking the whole freaking corn stalk. You're just taking the sheath of corn. And so it's very symbolic of taking exactly what you need and getting really clear about what isn't needed. And so this might be a nice time to kind of begin the process of whittling down and letting go of shit that you don't need, kind of like our current president. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it's a really, really nice time to start thinking about, like, what's no longer needed and how can you cut those things out of your life that aren't serving you so that you can go into winter without unnecessary clutter. And again, doing some work around some social justice, which is also incredibly mm-hmm. important at this time. And how can you do your spell work that is associated with the earth being this beautiful provider that is capable of providing for all of us, and that no one should be poor and no one should be hungry and no one should be left behind. And we all have the right to food and healthcare and houses mm-hmm. over our heads and the ability to love and marry whoever we want and change our minds. And exactly. all of, I mean, I'm about to go on a roll. Damn, don't get me started. Yeah. And, you know, bare bones minimum, try to have a really beautiful meal with things that have come straight from your garden or the farmer's market. And really take the time to savor all of the flavors and all of the nutrients that are coming from that meal, and really like give thanks to Mama Earth for making that, and all the hands and all the water and all the sun and all the bees and insects that it took to bring that to your table, which is something I feel like we should be doing with every meal. But in mm-hmm. particular with this meal, if you're going to have a really beautiful harvest meal, take the time to really savor that and be with that food in a way that feels really honoring of that bounty. So those are some really sweet, sweet dynamics that you can kind of work with if you're going to do some magic for this particular day.
Sure.
And also, sorry, I wanted to say, and also, if you don't want to celebrate this day because it is a Gaelic holiday and you're like, that shit ain't my ancestry, great, don't. But it is a really beautiful time to think about harvest and honoring harvest. And then, you know, I usually try to throw out other holidays that are happening at this time. And I wanted to say there are a lot of countries that celebrate their independence on this day. Or around this day. In particular, a lot of island countries like Trinidad and Tobago and then some countries in Africa like Burkina Faso. It's pretty cool. And then in Zambia, a little bit, about a week later on August 6th, it's Farmer's Day in Zambia. So I love that it's, you know, again, a celebration that's related to the working the earth and being with the earth and the plentifulness of the earth. It's also kind of at the tail end of Eid this year.
Awesome. Yeah. And just going back to the cutting and clearing and, you know, cutting those cords, another mention about Patreon, Andrea did put up a very lovely guided meditation on cord cutting, which is available to the highest tier of our Patreon members, I'm sorry. But another thing that this is really good, you know, when you're cutting and clearing those things that don't serve you, I would encourage you to look internally and cut and clear those things that don't serve you. This was a time, I was about this time in my life, around this time of year, where I finally sat down because I realized I had a lot of shit that I was holding on to. A lot of self-loathing, a lot of repressed homophobia. And yes, it is possible to be homophobic when you're gay. And I knew I was gay, and I'd lived as a gay man for several years, but then I had done so much cutting and clearing work. And, you know, and as I was cutting these people out of my life that wasn't serving me, something still didn't feel completely whole in me. And I realized that it was because I hadn't cut free that part of myself that held on to those, that shame of being gay. I didn't realize that it was still so deeply ingrained in me. And to finally cut that cord and let that go was just, you know.
So powerful. Yeah, that's really pretty beautiful.
Because we don't always look internally. We don't see the biases that we hold against ourselves or even those unconscious biases that we hold toward other people. There are so many things going on, you know, in the world and things that we're being told where we're made to feel we're not enough or, you know, we're made to feel like we're better than in a lot of cases. And some of it we don't even realize is happening, like especially for us white folks who are born into privilege simply by being white. And, you know, this is a perfect time with everything that is going on in the world right now for us to all step back. And I'm including myself that I like to think that I'm pretty woke. And, you know, I've got a lot of friends of color, but I realize that I have a privilege that they will never have. And I have to constantly remind myself of that. And it's about paying attention to that and helping lift up our friends of color. Because even if you think you don't have privilege, you do. And I would caution you against thinking that you don't, because that's what's got us to where we are today. But this blindness to the oppression that we have been a part of, even if we didn't mean to, we have been a part of that. And we need to fix that because it's our duty to do so. So
absolutely. Yeah, I love that. And then for all my fellow brown folks out there, just cut out the fucking nonsense with everyone that you don't want to have to deal with their nonsense. Because it is not our responsibility to handhold everybody else.
Awesome. We just threw in a lot of shit in less than an hour, so I'm kind of impressed.
I'm proud of us.
I know. So before we go, we want to give you the card of the day. This is, so I mentioned, I think during the summer solstice episode, that I had drawn from the Wildwood Tarot, which really follows the Wheel of the Year. I really, really love this deck, and so we decided we were going to use it for all of our holiday episodes. So here we are, using it today. And the card that I drew is the Three of Stones. And I also like this deck because it gives you just like a one-word meaning of each card. And this one is creativity. Mm. Now, the image on this card is one of a green woman standing between two stones, and she has one hand on each stone. And her feet are rooted into the earth by literal roots. Like, she could not possibly be any more grounded here. Now, the meaning behind the card is that creativity is upon you, but in order to fully manifest the creative energy from within, is you need to be fully grounded, you need to be stable, you need to be focused, and then really tap into the spirit within or that internal calling. What's driving you? What's fueling your creativity? Now, and by connecting with that, you know, according to the book with the deck, the universal consciousness and tapping into your intuition, again, that drive, that thing that's pulling you internally to do whatever you feel called to do, and then listening to that intuition and then going with it. That's when the good creative energy really starts to flow and you really do your best work. This is when whatever it is that you're creating comes through in a more meaningful and in a more potent way because, again, it was brought forth via that really strong connection between yourself and the divine that's driving you to create whatever it is you are feeling called to create. I feel like that was very redundant, but hopefully I got my point across.
I like that. I also love that, you know, as many times as the case, the card fits so perfectly with whatever we're talking about, because this particular holiday is about like that groundedness of the earth and the connection of the like spirit via the sun mm-hmm. coming together to create the bounty.
Awesome. Good chat. Good show.
Go team.
Go team go. So just a reminder, as I mentioned before, we will be back mid-August. I'm going to put a schedule up on our website on the blog to give you the dates of when we plan to release our next episodes. It will still be on Fridays, as I mentioned, though. It's only going to be once a month versus twice a month going, at least through the end of this year, until we can hopefully get back to some sort of normal, unless the world just explodes, which, see you on the other side. I'll wave when I pass by riding my comet.
When we're all stardust together again.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm. Nice.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, peeps. Thanks for sticking around.
Yeah. Be safe out there. Yes. Keep fighting the good fight.
That's right. And
yeah. Yeah, enjoy this beautiful harvest that's coming.
Absolutely. And we'll see you in a few weeks with some tips and tricks on candle magic.
Nice.
All right. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Rating and subscribing to the podcast helps like-minded listeners find the show. We'd love it if you'd head over to iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts and leave us a rating. We love connecting with our listeners. Head over to Instagram and give us a follow. You can find us at Magic From The Root. Also, if you like the content we provide and want to show us some love while gaining access to exclusive members-only content, you should become a Patreon subscriber. Head to our website at magicfromtheroot.com to find a link to our subscription page. And speaking of our website, this is also where you can find past episodes, show notes, and other magical tidbits. If you have a question for us or have something you'd like for us to discuss on the show, send us a message using the Contact Us link. See you next time.
This podcast was brought to you by literally everything.